So Jonathan threw down the gauntlet this morning and made a bet of who would need a tissue first.
Because everything needs to be a competition.
I am going to win. So just so you know, even if I have everything running down my face, I'm not going to use a tissue. So there. Wow, that video brought back a lot of memories. Grace Church looks a lot different now than it did 27 years ago when we first came.
And we look a lot different. At least I look a lot different. I mean, back then, if you look at me in a picture here, you're like, wow, you know, that was like 1997 right there. That was just about a year before we came to Grace. Our daughter Lauren is here today, delighted to have her. And then today, you look and you say, I've aged and Mary hasn't. I mean, it's remarkable.
Well, you know, the Bible says that gray hair is a sign of, you know what? Wisdom. So I'm just going to hang my hat on the fact that my original hair color is quite a bit darker than this, that it's wisdom that I've turned gray over these years.
Some of you might say, wow, like I've only been here for 3 months or whatever. I haven't been here. That would be actually true for most of you because Grace is about 5 times larger today than it was back in 1998. So many of you have come since then. You maybe put your trust in Christ or there's been a big yes to Jesus. Whenever it's been, we're grateful to be part of the family. And as someone told me this morning, in the kingdom of God, there are ultimately no goodbyes. It's really see you later. And we can't wait for more times together.
So you'll see on the screen here, this is a picture of our staff team. They've grown quite a bit since we got here 27 years ago when we were 33 years old. I'll save you the math, we're 60. And I tell you, they are an incredible group of people. And it does our hearts so much good to know that as we're moving on, you're in really good hands. Mm-hmm. First of all, the hands of the Lord Jesus. And secondly, the hands of an incredible staff team, an elder team, a leadership team, a volunteer team. You are an incredible church family.
Our facilities have changed. Maybe you saw in that picture, you'll look there and you go, see that green grass there right in front? That's where we are sitting right now. And this facility was not built until 2004. You'll look behind the church and it's all grass and trees. And some of you parked there this morning, thank you. You walked up. And then today we have 3 campuses, not only here, but friends at Olmsted Falls, we love you. It's so good to be with you yesterday. And you'll see the Olmsted Falls campus on the inside here in just a second. And then Mary and I, we were with the guys at Lorraine on Thursday. I think 8 more got baptized. And God is doing, the warden got up and with tears just said, what's happened, this is the only church campus in all of the state of Ohio and the change that's occurred.
So the picture you see there, one of our brothers at Lorraine painted that for us. That's a picture of the chapel where we meet out at Lorraine. Thank you, Spike.
This has also been a great place for our own family. You'll see a picture of us there that was taken about 5 months ago with my dear mother-in-law, Jamie, and then our 5 kids, our significant others, and Teddy and Ellie, our 2 grandkids.
Yeah, our youngest 2 were born after we came here. We got here with 3 little kids and then added 2 more, Anna and Andrew. Yeah.
Also have had the privilege, I didn't ever expect, of walking with Mom and Dad for 16 years, having Julie, my sister, and David here, the Calvis family, and being able to, that was a picture taken maybe, I don't know, back in 2012, I think, with my 8 siblings, and just so grateful for each of them. And what an honor to have an office next to Dad for 16 years, and just to glean wisdom, and to have him praying for us, and Mom as well. That was a gift.
Yeah, the Schaefer family. It's funny, our wedding picture, on our side of the family, it's my mom and my brother and me. And then on Jonathan's side of the family, there were a few more. It was a little bit of a culture shock coming into your family. But they so graciously just welcomed me, as they did for many of you, too. Yeah, so some of you have been here for a long time, for the whole 27 years and even longer than we've been here. And it's been a joy to do life with you for all these years. Some of you have been here a shorter amount of time, and we're so glad God brought you when he did. We've loved serving with you and walking with you, and it's just been such a joy and a privilege. And I'll just say 27 years is a long time to make a lot of mistakes, and we have done that. And you've extended grace to us time and time again. Thank you.
It's been fun to get to know people in the community and to see some of our neighbors and other people we've gotten to know be part of the Grace family. Friends we've gotten to know at the rec center or Empowering Punch for me or through pickleball, our kids' sports, through school system. And then for you to be able to walk this journey with you, our Grace family. And we couldn't really get a picture that captured all of you. There was, I think, one of us, all of some of you at Beulah Beach, but the times, Grace Church is not the building at Olmsted Falls, Lorraine here. Grace Church is you. It's the people of God who gather, and we're so grateful. I often get the question, like, Jonathan, how are you doing? Not just like right now, I feel a lot of emotion right now, but you know, at any point, they'd be like, hey, how are you doing? And Paul has a word in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 where he says this, and I think it typifies not just the life for Mary and me, but probably for every follower of Jesus, where he says, our hearts ache, but we always have joy. And I think that's been the journey with you. We've ached with a lot of you. We've ached over the decision of someone you dearly love that they've gotten themselves in a ditch. Maybe it's been something that you've experienced in your own life that you say, I have my own regrets. I've officiated over 200 funerals. I counted them this week. And so many people, we've stood next to a casket or an emergency room and our hearts ache. And yet, simultaneously, there's joy. Like, they're not either one or the other. They're intermingled, and the joy of seeing life transformation, someone we've been praying for, put their trust in Christ, and a marriage that has been like reconciled, or someone who's been praying desperately for something, and God answers that prayer. And there have been the milestone moments, hundreds of babies dedicated. I've done over 200, officiated over 200 weddings, and just being a part of some really special moments. But most of all, just saying, when Jesus is at work in your lives and you're saying, I'm free in him, I'm serving, ache and joy intermingled, and to do that with you has been such a privilege.
You've inspired us, you've blessed us, you've encouraged us as we've seen you walk through some really hard things and hang on to Jesus. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. You've lived out your faith in such a wonderful way. I think one of the things that encourages us most is to watch you love each other. To see you pray with each other and bring meals to each other and just support each other and encourage you. It's been a beautiful thing. So we're grateful that, I think you're going to talk about this in a little bit, but you know when you play Jenga, you know Jenga, and you pull out one block and the whole thing falls, right? Or there are some blocks that you pull out and you say, oh, there's a hole there, but the thing doesn't fall. We're not the block that you pull out and it falls. We're the block that you pull out and you say, okay, there's a little hole there. But you love each other so well. This is an incredible church family. And it's been a blessing to us these last, especially this week, to hear from so many of you what God has been doing in your life and how your brothers and sisters here have been loving you, how you've walked together, and that's just, this is a special place.
Mary, I found four prayer requests. It's sort of fun to reminisce and look back, and when I came here, we felt prompted. We began to pray, and I put four prayer requests on my desk, and I had there for years until I got rid of that desk that was so big, But the four prayer requests, just to say, God is answering this, and we hope he'll answer even more. One was that we would be a people known for vibrant prayer. And when I see people in the lobby who are just spontaneous prayer, I just came out of a prayer group a few minutes before the service, and I began to cry as I said, you have been these people holding up my arms and praying for me, and God's going to honor you for that. A prayer group tonight that meets at 6 o'clock, and prayer groups through the week, and people who are behind this wall right now praying every Sunday, praying over the seats in this auditorium, just saying, God, whoever sits here, have your way in their hearts. And so just seeing that and saying, we want to be people who continue to seek him, because ultimately, without him, we can do nothing.
Yeah, and I think part of being able to really pray for each other is being willing to be authentic with each other. And so we just want to say thank you to you for this isn't a place where you come in and you have to wear a mask and pretend like everything's okay. And some of you have really led the way in that. You've been willing to share about, I don't know, an addiction in your life, whether it be alcohol or drugs or porn or whatever that is, to say, I'm struggling with this and I need help. And the body has been able to come alongside and walk with you. Thank you for doing that. Some of you have been willing to share about deep pain in your own life, whether that be, an abortion that you had or were part of in the past and you felt that shame, or whether it be something that was done to you when you were younger and the enemy has turned that around and made you feel shame about that. You've been willing to share that, and we've been able to come along. We want this to be a safe place, not a place where people pretend, but a place where there's authenticity and deep love and prayer for each other. And you've been willing to do that, and that takes courage. Thank you. I think, while I've got the mic, I'll just call out, there's one person that I feel like has really been key in that. So thank you, Ma, for being willing to open your life and be authentic and real with us. Really grateful, really grateful.
We also prayed, secondly, that there would be a vibrant outreach, that we'd see all kinds of people come to know Jesus, and that we could be part of the celebration that happens in heaven when just one person, like the moment that you put your trust in Christ, to know that there was a celebration in heaven among Jesus and his angels welcoming us. And it's all grace. I mean, we just put our trust in him, and by his grace we're saved just through faith in him. And we've seen hundreds, thousands of people do that in these 27 years.
The third thing on our list, that when it sat on that big desk for so long, was that when we first came here, we started praying that God would make us look more like the kingdom of heaven, that we would be a diverse family. You see God's heart all through scripture and all through creation, that he is the author of diversity. We've often said a homogeneous church is way easier than a diverse church. Meaning this, when we all look alike, we all have the same perspective, it's easy enough to get along. But once we become a diverse church and we look different and we have different perspectives, there's so much room for misunderstandings. But diverse is so much better. It's God's heart. And we started praying for that so long ago, and God is doing that. He's making us not just a place where some of us look different than others, but a place where we embrace differences and perspectives and cultures, and we love that. And unity and diversity is a beautiful thing. It's what we see in Revelation 5. It's what God created. Mm-hmm. It's what he loves. And we're so grateful we're seeing a growing diversity here at Grace.
Yeah, and then finally, we wanted to be a church that had a global perspective, that we would care about people in every nation like Jesus does. When he gave a commission and said, I want you to go into all the world and make disciples. I want you to preach the gospel into every people, here, there, and everywhere. And so Mary and I, in a sense, feel like we're being sent out, and I love the fact that we're going to be in the global outreach page of Grace Church, sort of moving from the staff page to global outreach. And we would love for you to be praying for us. In the bulletin, if you picked one up at the one of the doors there on the table, is a prayer card of Jonathan and Mary. And on the backside, some of you said, how do I keep up? If you just scan that code, you can, or go to that link, you can sign up for updates that we'll send every like 3 months and just say, hey, here's where we're going. To know that you'd be praying for us would mean the world to us.
As hard as it is and as painful it is for us to be sent off from here, we are really excited about what God has for you as a church family. God has got good things. And we'd love it if you would be praying for the next lead pastor that'll be coming in, asking the Lord to give wisdom to our leadership. And also that God will make room in your heart that you'll be able to love them like you've loved us. You've done it really well. So thank you. Hey, did you need a tissue when you cried at prayer time? Did you use a tissue?
The clock didn't start until the service began. Yeah. Mary, I just want to say, some of you probably think Mary's on staff. Mary has been a volunteer the entire time she's been here. And you have been amazing. I love you. Yeah. I'm really thankful for the worship team singing some of the songs that meant a lot to us. You may have heard about the pastor who had some tension with his church family, and he started to wrestle with stuff. And And he got up one Sunday and he said, hey, after a lot of prayer and discussion, I sense that Jesus is leading me to leave this church. And immediately the congregation broke out into, what a friend we have in Jesus. So thank you for not doing that song today. Hey, if you have your Bible or your Bible app on your phone, would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15? If you'd like to follow along the message notes, so we have stacks of those by each of the worship center doors on your way in, and or just click on the bulletin of our homepage at our website. Also, the app that is available for download for Grace, lots of resources, including for the message. And just again, to my friends at Olmsted Falls, it was great to be with so many of you yesterday. And brothers and sisters at Lorraine, so moved to be with you on Thursday. Our hearts are forever connected. I really like this portion of scripture for my final message here at Grace for a few reasons. In 1 Corinthians, first of all, you see a leader's love for the people that he gets to serve. Paul loved his friends in Corinth. In fact, in the very last verse of the letter, chapter 16, verse 24, he says, my love to all of you in Christ Jesus. And he just says, amen, that's it. My love to all of you. He calls them dear brothers and sisters. And I can just tell you, that's how Mary and I feel about you. We love you. I don't know what it is, but how Jesus can fill your heart with love for a people that you just go, wow, God, thank you for letting us share the love that you have for these people. And I can just tell you, that's not gonna stop. You can count on our prayers for you. I also like this passage because the focus specifically in 1 Corinthians 15 is on Jesus. It's not about Paul. It's about Jesus, who's mentioned over 20 times in chapter 15 alone. And here's why that's so encouraging for me. Grace Church has never, even if it's been, you know, some people have said the lead pastor at Grace for 63 years has had the last name of Schaefer. First my dad and then Jonathan. But it's never been about the Schaefers. It's always been, our motto is exalting Jesus Christ. It's been about Jesus, and he's the foundation of our church. I've said it a number of times. Mary and I may be sent out, but Jesus is not going anywhere. He's gonna be with you always to the very end. That is profoundly encouraging to me, because if I can just be transparent with you, I've often felt inadequate. I'm not going to use a tissue, Mary. You haven't won yet. When you're with a person who's just found out that they have 3 to 6 months left to live, words can feel very inadequate when they come and speak with you, or when you're receiving the tears and brokenness of a person who has just found out their spouse has been having an affair. Or when you're praying with a couple here at the front, and for them, infertility is not just a medical term, it's something intensely personal. And I could just go on and on about situations. Being just in situations where I just said, Lord, I feel so inadequate. And what I began to realize very quickly is that the best gift I could bring in any situation is Jesus. It's all about Jesus, and that's Paul's point here. One guy wrote to us yesterday, and he said, the greatest advice you've given me in my years of Grace was when I was in a very dark place in my former marriage. You encouraged me to draw near to Jesus. Thank you both for your love for him. It's all about Jesus and his promises, which leads to one more reason I'm drawn to this passage, and this is where we're gonna land. There's an incredible promise that fills us with confidence, and that's where I wanna land today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you're wondering, when is Jonathan gonna get to this verse? It's the very last verse, verse 58, and here's what Paul says, and here's what I want to say to you. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So here's the encouragement for the journey ahead. It's two things. First, continue with confidence in Christ. That was how he starts. And friends, that's really the best gift you could give to Mary and me, and ultimately to the Lord Jesus. Did you catch how Paul begins? He says, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Friends, what I sense is that in today's society, a culture marked by anxiety, by confusion, by upheaval, that stability is perhaps the most powerful and compelling witness of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to have roots that go deep. So many of you have demonstrated this to us. You're standing firm in your faith even when there's a temptation to go a different way. You're walking with integrity no matter the cost. In a time of suffering, you're standing firm and saying, I believe that Jesus is writing a bigger story and he's good. One friend at Grace has had 20 plus surgeries and sometimes wonder, how do you handle something like that? And here's what she writes. She says, yes, my surgeries have been incredibly challenging for me and my family, but God is so much bigger and my faith has gone through the sky and into heaven through it all. I've learned what it feels like to go through a dark, painful journey while simultaneously feeling incredible love, peace, and joy in the Lord. If I had to choose perfect health or my trials, I would choose to go through my trials again because of the spiritual treasures I've found in the Lord. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. You wonder, how can you say something like that? You know, Bible teachers, one of the principles of Bible interpretation, they'll tell you that if a verse starts off with therefore, you ask what it's there for. Okay, you've heard me say that before. And here you look at the previous words and you go, okay, when he says in verse 58, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, what is he saying? What is it there for? And it's crystal clear that you look back and you say, we can stand firm. We can let nothing move us because we know that the final enemy, this is what this chapter is all about, that death has been defeated. Therefore, stand firm. Let nothing move you. The message is this: if Jesus really came back from death, and death has been defeated, that changes everything for you and for me and will until the day he comes again. We know our sins have been washed away. We're fully forgiven. We know that our address in heaven is secure, that nothing can rob us of the home that he's prepared for us. Death may come for us, but death will not win. Amen? We know that Jesus is alive. He writes the final chapter. And that puts everything in perspective. And if you haven't put your trust in him, can I just, maybe you're here and you go, I've never really taken that step. Friends, I pray that you'll join the family and just say, God, thank you for the gift of grace you've given me in Jesus. I want to follow you. I want to put my trust in. I want you to be the king of my life. Author Tim Keller, who went to heaven a couple years ago after a bout with pancreatic cancer, put it this way. He said, if Jesus was raised from the dead, everything is going to be all right. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. If you keep Jesus at the center, faith can overcome fear. 3.5 years ago, a series of tornadoes hit Western Kentucky. Devastating natural disaster. Many people died. Brayman, Kentucky is a coal mining community and was among the hardest hit towns. And one of the residents there, Jordan Bays, had the roof of his home torn off by the wreckage of the tornado. So a couple days later, Jordan's sister, Whitney, they were allowed to go back to their homes, and he went to see the damage after the storm. And Whitney said this of her brother. She said as they walked, you know, she reflected on the time, she said, everything around him was broken. I was standing in his bedroom packing anything I could salvage. And then I heard the most beautiful sound. I went around the corner of my brother's living room and found him playing the piano. The piano had water damage, it had missing keys, and he didn't know I was filming, but still he used his gift to glorify his God the best way he knew how. Here's the clip she took. Let's take a look.
Thank you.
Some of you are humming along. You know the song? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Kings and kingdoms may all, but there's something about that name. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Why? Because Jesus lives today, and you can know him, and that'll never leave you. That's the first encouragement for the journey ahead. And the second part of the verse, never stop serving Jesus because he's doing more than you could ever know. Here's what it says, that second part. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Why? Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. What does that word mean? The word vain means empty, means useless. Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders build in what? In vain. Like if God's not in it, if you're just living your life without Jesus at the center, in the end, it's going to be empty. You might accomplish a lot in the eyes of the world. You might have a wedding in Venice and invite all of the A-listers and everybody else. Not that I'm talking about anybody in particular. But friends, I can tell you, at the end of this life, it's, if you don't have Jesus, if they don't have Jesus in their life, it's all gonna be nothing. It's gonna be vain, vain. What I like about this is Paul is saying that in 1 Corinthians 15, he's not just saying that, hey, you have a future hope, and Jesus is your hope, and you have an eternity to look forward to. That's true. But he's also saying this, that there's a present significance because he rose again from the dead, that what you do today when Jesus Christ is in your life, it matters. It matters. And so Paul says, today, always, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Do the things that honor him. Show love to the people he puts around you. Act with integrity in whatever assignment you've been given. Follow the prompts of the Holy Spirit. Pray faithfully. Give generously. Serve humbly. Because nothing you do in Jesus' name is in vain. It counts. God is doing so much more than you could ever know behind the scenes. Mary and I counted up this week. We had 14 hours of receiving line. And some of you are like, I waited for 12 hours of that time too. I really apologize. That was at four different events. And you might say, how are you doing with that? We were, you know, there was some time. I slept well, but I was so moved. I was so moved by the stories and by hearing of what Jesus is doing and what he's accomplishing. And let me just read an example of that. One person, and they wrote an email. They said, I remember hesitantly coming to Grace for the first time. There to greet me was the friendliest, warmest handshake I'd ever received. She was 19. Welcoming me into the church, immediately I felt more at ease, and as I sat and listened to teaching from the Bible and witnessed every parishioner open their Bibles and learn from the scriptures, I knew I had found my church home. I just shared that because of the way Grace Church is organized and has a team that opens the doors and greets people as they enter the church. I'm not sure if they fully realize how important the role is in making people feel comfortable, especially the new people. I'm just glad we've continued that tradition today. My friends at Lorraine, at Olmsted Falls, here in Middleburg, thank you. It doesn't matter what you do, how many people know about it. Here's the promise of your Heavenly Father. You can know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's everything you do in his name. It's not just here. It's diligence and quality in the work you do and the assignment to which you've been called. It's showing grace to others in your home as a faithful parent or to a sibling or it's kindness to a person in a hospital waiting room. It's help to a stranger in need. Everything you do in Jesus' name will outlive you. There's gonna be a ripple effect for all of eternity. It's never in vain. You know what really encourages Mary and me? The great majority of you, I'd say about 99% have told us, you're like, we're gonna keep on being a part of this church family. I wanna see the next chapter of Grace. There's a few who said, well, John and Mary are leaving, I'm leaving too. Can we just say, if you're saying that, I feel like I've made a grave mistake, that Mary and I have somehow communicated that if we are sent out, that somehow Grace is, you know, God is sort of not going to continue his work. The reality is it's all about Jesus. This is an amazing church family. God is here. He's doing great things. He's going to do great things. And we want you to be part of the new chapter. I loved hearing people say this week, they're like, hey, you know what? I'm going to keep on being an Alpha Table leader. I'm going to keep on volunteering at Global Grounds. I get to be part of the Grace Kids, you know, thing. I'm serving with the outreach team out in the community. I'm part of the disability ministry, and I'm going to keep on doing that. I'm going to, you know, whatever. You're living out your faith in the workplace. You're doing something wherever. And whatever you do in Jesus' name, friends, it counts. It counts. And it's going to outlive you. Here's the promise of our Heavenly Father. You can know, not guess, not hope, not pray for. You can know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Everything you do in Jesus' name will outlive you. Well, my time is up. Someone told me this week, they said, Jonathan, you can speak for as long as you want. What are they going to do, fire you? Okay, maybe he had a point. But what I don't want is for you for years to come to go, man, I just remember that last Sunday. Like, he went on, what was his name? He went on forever. So my dear friends, my brothers and sisters, here's what would bring so much joy to Mary and me and to your Father in heaven. Continue with confidence in Christ. He's alive today. He's with you. And never, ever stop serving Jesus. He's doing more than you'll ever know through the little seeds that you're planting in the lives of people around you. You know, again, maybe the greatest gift we can give in this anxious age is our calm, faithful stability and rootedness in the Lord Jesus Christ. That future generations will look back at us and they'll say, you know what? What I admired about them, they just kept on following Jesus. Like, no matter what happened in the world, no matter the cause, no matter, they quietly and faithfully served. They might say something like, man, the world is going crazy. You might go, it is going crazy today. But they had this peace, this sense of joy in their lives because they trusted the one who never breaks a promise. So therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Grace family, Mary and I love you. Be praying for you. We're cheering you on. Same team. We get to be serving in different places, but the same Savior on the same mission, and we can't wait to see what he does through you. Thank you for allowing us to serve you all of these years.